Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
B Sizzle, I feel a little something extra today, man. I feel a little something extra in the city. I feel a little something extra tonight. Might be the most. It's like the biggest Knicks Heat game we've had in a long time. It's a big game tonight.
It's playoff mode. It's playoff mode tonight. And to really, I got to be in the building tonight. I got to check it out. I got to check it out now. Now we have a bet. If the Knicks win, it's all good. I'm in there like swimwear.
Mm-hmm. You become the official mascot of the playoffs.
Yeah. Exactly.
You have to be at every game.
In my green suit, sitting right next to Spike.
Okay.
So they'll know who's in the green suit.
Well, we got to work that out with Spike. Maybe Spike, because Spike has two tickets now. So he always has like somebody with him.
Man, I tell you, that's what rich people do. Like you buy the house next to you because you don't want to buy next to you. I decide who's sitting next to
you. Well, you also want somebody to go with you, right? Like you want that. Yeah, you don't want to just go by yourself. But yeah, we got to work that out. We got to work that out. But I'm telling you, like, there's a lot of intrigue in this game. And if last night I watched the Heat play the Raptors, and Jimmy Butler didn't play,
yeah,
which means they were saving him for this game tonight. The Knicks are favored by 5, by the way, in case anybody cares. But this game, there's so many ramifications. All right, so let's first go through it. The Heat losing last night, by the way, without Jimmy Butler in Toronto, that actually helps the Knicks. So their magic number now is 4 to clinch a top 6. If they win tonight, it goes down to 2. Now, why doesn't it go down to 1? Mainly because, you know, they also would win the season series 3-1. But you have to keep in mind that the Heat can still win the division. So there's something else to think about. Now, I'm not quite sure, and every time I look at it, I get a different explanation. But I believe the first tiebreaker is supposed to be head-to-head. And then after that, the division leader then wins.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes in
most sports. But I don't know if it's head-to-head first or division winner first. Because it just says division leader wins a tie from a team not leading a division. I don't know if that supersedes the head-to-head or not. I have not gotten that explanation yet. But regardless, win tonight, they control their destiny. Win tonight and all this stuff goes out the window and you effectively are clinching a top 6. Effectively. Because there'll be 5 games left and you have pretty much locked it up. So that's how big this game is. And the Heat are desperate. Like, they should have been desperate last night. They didn't play desperate.
Well,
they looked terrible last night in that loss.
Without Jimmy Buckets, yeah, that's emotional leader. Sometimes you set the tone and also you piss off the other team. They're like, hold up. You're not going to play your best player, so you sleeping on us?
Right.
What you trying to say? Oh, man, y'all have lost y'all damn mind. Let's be sports.
And the Raptors tonight are still playing for something. They're playing for positioning in the 7-10. So they had something to play for. So that was supposed to be a big game last night, and the Heat didn't treat it as such. No.
That's really odd. But I tell you what, the building should be rocking. The organ should be nice. The pipes, I want the pipes cleaned out.
Right. It's going to be like that, man. I'm telling you. It's going to be like that. And that to me is, again, once again, that to me is why I think this is, like, I'm curious to see the crowd. I'm curious to see the mood. Like, there's so many things that I'm curious to see tonight, because while we've had big games in the Garden the last 2 years, you know, obviously 2 years ago they had a playoff game. You know, we've had that. But remember, we were just coming out of COVID. We were just getting people back in the building. It wasn't a full building a lot until we got to the playoffs.
It was still a bit weird.
Yeah, so there was still something new to all of it. But this now, you hate your rival. This is a team you can't stand.
This is a throwback. This team is supposed to be a throwback, and it's a throwback rival.
And you just saw him last week, and we all know, you know, a lot of emotions out of that game last week. Like, I'm telling you. So I really need to know. 800-919-3776. We begin with this one. Today might be the day of anxiety. Your level of anxiety right now, it's not always a negative thing. Sometimes it's something that you're just feeling it. You know, Bart, on game days, you had to deal with anxiety, right? The anticipation, right? Waiting to play, you get anxious. Anxiety is obviously a derivative of being anxious.
Yes, the younger you are, the more anxious you get, right? Because a lot of times the game is coming, you get fidgety, you know, you're sitting around in your hotel room, you know, you're figuring out what you want to do, you're eating, you're trying to stay busy. Then you got little shoot-arounds, you got little stuff, check-ins, sit with your coaches, go out, stretch out, all that type of stuff. And then you look up, and it's game day, and you're tired. It's like, hold on, I'm fatigued. I've been doing all this stuff all day to stay busy and trying to stay dormant because you can rest too much. Put your feet up, all that type of stuff. Don't want to exude any energy. You're carb loading. You know, it's an interesting day. And everybody handles it differently. Some people want to go out, go watch a movie, move around. Some people like to just sit in one space. And that's why the coaches always kind of put eyes on guys, see guys and how guys are doing through their process.
So, I think the building should have great energy. And I'm on the call tonight, by the way, with Ed Cohen right here on 98.7 ESPN. So, not only am I doing pre and post for MSG Networks, also on the call tonight. So, I get to be part of that, which should be a lot of fun. I mean, that's, again, for me, like just to be able to be on the game call on a night like this, where I feel like this has big game feel to it. And I want to know which Knick team shows up. Like, the expectations for tonight are blank. That's what I want to know. So, Bart, let me ask you, your expectations for tonight, after what you've seen from the Knicks over the last couple of weeks now, where they won 9 in a row, 12 out of 15, but yet then lost, you know, 6 out of 9, had, you know, some issues, their defense, whatever it is, all the things that we've seen now, aerial view, going into tonight, what do you expect?
I expect them to be locked in, and I expect them to play with a lot of energy and ride that crowd. You know, I expect a impressive performance, redemption, look, get back at Jimmy Buckets, physicality. Could get chippy early. We got to watch out for these guys getting early fouls, being too amped up and understanding what the moment is. You know, that's why you have to lean on your veterans. I expect them to be hope that they're aggressive early, going to the basket, aggressive early, you know, getting out runs, getting turnovers, and kind of, you know, when a team has played a hard matchup the night before, and then they're stepping out. You know, the Heat might want to slow it down. You know what I mean? Jimmy Buckets is a guy that likes to play in the half court. You know, their defense is their offense. I'm getting out on them. I'm testing them legs. See how you feel it.
Get to the rim. This is a team that they used to be really good at protecting the paint. They have not been over the last couple of weeks. Last night, I mean, the Raptors just had a red carpet into the paint. Whenever they wanted, you got to watch that, and you got to see that as Knick players, and you got to say to yourself, all right, let's just keep attacking. Like, just, you know, what was right? Chop down the tree. Right? Wasn't that how Rocky?
Chopping wood.
Right? Wasn't that how Rocky beat
Ivan Drago.
Drago?
Hit him in the middle.
Right. Oh, Ed Cohen's not on the call tonight.
What?
Oh, it's John Giannone. I get to work with JG tonight. That's great. Did not realize that. Awesome. That's going to be, makes it even better. Giannone, one of the classiest people you'll ever meet. So, that, again, must listen tonight. Full coverage we have here on 98.7 ESPN. It's starting at 7 o'clock with the pregame. And then, like I said, I'm on the call. John Giannone on the call as well on what I think is – like, this is the biggest game against the Heat we've seen in a long time. And there used to be some really big games against the Heat. And then you also have one of the biggest games the Knicks have played. This is a clincher. Not necessarily an official clincher, but I'm telling you, get a win tonight and you've effectively clinched what a lot of people didn't expect the Knicks to get, which is a top 6 pick. They could get 5 still, but a lot riding on this game tonight. Some excitement as we are getting now into that part of the year that we've been anticipating. The 3 hockey teams making the playoffs. The 2 basketball teams in the playoffs. Baseball season starts tomorrow, Bart Scott.
I know.
Aaron Rodgers' anticipation, you know, taking us into the summer. Jets and Giants, you know, and a lot of expectations there. Like, we are in it now. What should we call it? Like, we keep calling it a New York Renaissance. Like, this year, 2023, by the end of it, we could have all of our teams make the playoffs, and I don't think we've ever had that.
Yeah, I would call it the rise of the Phoenix, the rebirth. You know what I mean?
It's not Phoenix, though. It's New York.
No, but it's the rise of the Phoenix.
But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
We got to come up with something better than that, though.
Come on, Captain Literal Man.
Yeah, I am. I'm being that because it's New York. It's not Phoenix. It's not Phoenix, Arizona. But I don't know. We got to come up with something for this because it does have that potential that can take us all the way through the winter. But it starts right now. This is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to this. 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's go to Jay in Newark. Start us off today, Jay.
What's good, fellas? How y'all doing today?
All right.
For nothing else, man, we got to beat these guys today. I'm a Knicks fan. Talk about the Knicks. We got to beat them just because how they did us last week. We let a team who really suffers from scoring. We let them do whatever they want. And this is a statement game, man. We got to put the clamps on them, beat them by double digits. I think we can. And just, you know, we got to look at ourselves and say, man, what kind of team are we? They lost a couple of guys the games last week with Minnesota, Orlando, and these guys where they really got to show up.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for them to really blow them away. You know, we got that nice win against Denver. That was our high. And then we hit this low where we lost to Minnesota with no Cat and Edwards. We lost to this team by, I don't know, 130, 140 points. They can't even score. We lost to Orlando. We got this nice win against Houston, but Houston ain't really nobody. We were supposed to do that. We got to go and just destroy these dudes, man. That's what I'm looking for today. I'm looking for a real statement victory.
Yeah, you know, the statement game, there were a couple, and you mentioned the Denver one. Denver felt like a bit of a statement, an afternoon game against a good Denver team with Jokic and all that stuff. And, that, you know, that felt like one. You know, the winning against the Lakers when the Lakers were playing really well on national TV on a Sunday night, Aaron Rodgers in the building, by the way, like that felt like a bit of a statement kind of win as well to put a stop to some losing. You know, they've had a few of them, but I think, you know, when you're a team that's trying to make the playoffs, you need a whole bunch of them. And we got another one tonight. And I'll tell you what, here's another thing. I'm going to say this too, Jay, because Jay, I don't know if you're going to the game. Are you going to the game or not?
No, I'm going to watch and listen.
All right, that's perfect. But here's the thing. I'm wondering, will the building sound like the old guard? Meaning, like, will it rock like it did, whether it was, you know, the playoffs a couple of years ago, it got pretty loud. But I'm talking about, is it going to have that kind of roar that the home team needs? I mean, from the start now. I'm not talking about, you know, if things go well, now we'll start cheering. I mean, is it going to be a nervous applause, or is there going to be a roar from the start? Understanding what tonight means for this team, which for the better part of the second half of the season has been a really good team. They're going to need that, I think, because of everything you said. They got to make a statement, but they can't do it without a home crowd, home court advantage, which is not always the case at the Garden.
I'll tell you, I've been to the Garden at least, I'm going to say, a half dozen times in my life, and I'll tell you, we start off roaring, but it also depends on how they come out.
Yeah, you miss like a few shots. Yeah,
you know, if you a few shots or these guys get up to an early lead, that could deflate the crowd. But if we come out, hit a couple of shots, play like you guys said, get that ball inside, Randall could come in there like that bully could be sometimes and get us going, then we could feed off of that energy. But sometimes, you know, you go into the game, you live, you come out flat, you know, you got to work in and get that energy back to come over a big lead. You know, that kind of affects you as well. So it's all about us and how it starts. You know, you guys said it. If we start with aggressiveness and really come out, it's going, you know, we could build off that. If, you know, they come out flat or inconsistent, then, you know, it's going to be hard coming back because that's not a team you want to play with, man. We got to go in.
Yep.
And we got to put the boots on them quick.
Yeah, I'm with Jay. I appreciate the call, man. I love the energy. I mean, that's really – it's got to have that feel tonight. That's how I feel. This has got to have that feel tonight in the building. And, oh, by the way, it's Walt Clyde Frazier's birthday today.
Oh, snap.
So let's celebrate a little bit of that, too, right?
Maybe have some halftime, a little Beyonce at halftime. Beyonce coming? Who's singing happy birthday at halftime, Clyde?
I don't know. We can get somebody. Maybe you'll sing it to him.
We can get Ashanti. No, we got to get some Thickums up there. You know what I'm saying? We got enough New York stars. Tiana Taylor, somebody come do something for Clyde.
I'm sure there'll be. There's always something. You know that. There's always something. But I'm telling you, man, like when you look at the standings, this game is everything. And now let me bring in the reality. Because there was a lot of talk Monday that Jalen Brunson was sitting out Monday against the Rockets after practicing Sunday, but he would be available for tonight's game. That was the feeling. That was the sense. But now he's still listed as questionable. And that continues to be, for me, the greatest concern. Now, Emmanuel quickly has played really well as a starter for him, right? He's played really well. But you need him in games like this. You're going to need him. So that's the other part. I'm watching that closely. We probably won't know until tip-off or right before tip-off whether or not he's going to play. But they are just exponentially better when he plays. And as we saw, the way Miami wants to play. Now, again, they look like crap last night. I don't know what Miami team we're getting. But if they play like they did last week against the Knicks, where they got after it defensively, trapping all over the place, throwing the kitchen sink at you, taking the ball out of his hands, frustrating Randall, waiting for somebody else to beat them, like, you need Brunson to play like Brunson. You need him to be the threat that they have to worry about. And if he's not in the lineup, that's a major concern in what I think is a very important game. Because you know, of all games, like, Bart, if you were banged up, but you were good enough that you could go a little, this is a game you're playing in, right? You're like, you're not letting them tell you, well, you want to take another game? Hell no, I'm playing tonight.
Absolutely, because one, they need his decision-making.
Yep.
That's what they need. It's not so much as his presence. It's his calming effect. His ability to get other guys' shots, be able to create. If not, you put a lot of that in the hands of Julius Randle, and that's when he struggles. Yes, he'll make some great decisions, but he'll make some bad ones, right? He'll hold on to the ball a little bit. You want the offense to flow. You know what I mean? You want
and Randle hasn't been right since the 57-point game. He just hasn't. You could see it. He hasn't been right. So what is the one thing that has helped unlock him this year is Brunson's presence. Has helped him take the pressure off. But when Brunson's not out there, you could tell, like, Randle feels like he's got to do it all. And when he can't, you're in trouble.
You don't want to continue to stress quickly either. You know what I mean? You want to keep him in his role because he's so dynamic when he gets out there with Obi and being able to run the second unit, him and Barrett. And you want to be able to sometimes keep him out there and allow him to have that spark because, you know, you can go on huge runs, especially when you got the second unit out there. And the second unit is usually his own thing. You know what I mean? So I think they should make sure, hopefully he goes, even if he, you know, play 20 minutes, you know, starting, getting them in their sets, maybe closing the half out. The important moments, you know what I mean? Save him for that.
Now think about this. Brunson on the court this season in 65 games, the Knicks offensive rating is 118.9. When he is not in the game, when he is off the court, it drops to 110.2. That's a big drop. I mean, there's a big difference there with him on and off the court. They're just a different team. And there's, you know, like, you know they're better when he plays. They're deeper because then now you get, like you mentioned, quickly off the bench as a scorer. So I the importance of Brunson in tonight, and I think the importance of him in the playoffs, it can't be overstated. It can't be overstated. And so if he is not available tonight, now he's listed as questionable. If he's not available tonight, it would make me worry about his availability for the postseason. And I don't want to worry about that. I don't want to think about that. But this game's too important to say, well, we're going to keep resting him. Like, maybe he's got, you know, whatever's going on with the hand, that we got to give it more time. Because this is a game where you get this one, I don't care about Friday at Cleveland. Don't care. Right? To me, Cleveland Friday won't matter as much if you win tonight. You're still going to need a couple more wins. But tonight's the one you get, and then you can just kind of say, all right, well, we'll have five games to get the one more win we need to clinch a playoff spot. So I'm going to read a lot into his availability tonight, Bart.
Yeah, and that's the concern, right? You know, he's on the West Coast swing, try to get him out there. Now he hurts the hand. You know, I hope we're not seeing a player that's breaking down, right? You know, we saw this funny, oddly enough, in baseball. We saw this with – not funny. We saw this with Max Scherzer last year. Right, he just didn't look right. He just didn't look the same, And he didn't want to mention how hurt he really was. But you know, Jalen has played more basketball in the last couple of years than he's played in a while, and you know, it's been a lot of pressure on him. And when you get those little dings, especially late in the season, it's just so hard to recover from because you just don't have the time, right? And your body's so stressed out, man. So they got to figure out a way to get him healthy. But tonight's the night where you come out and you give what you can give. And you put it on the line because this game is so important to set the table for going into the postseason.
Now, what did you think of Jimmy Butler sitting out last night? In a game for the Heat, they needed that game. Like, they need every win at this point because they don't control their destiny. They don't want to be in the 7-10. And yet, they decided not to play him in Toronto, obviously to save him for this game tonight. And they lost the game. So, like... How do you feel about them sitting him out in a game like that, or him sitting out in a game like that?
I mean, listen, I know it's probably a coach's decision. Jimmy Butler's a guy that, you know, plays hard, man. So I'm not going to question his want to. I want to think maybe it was a decision that was made collectively, and maybe they just overestimated their ability to handle the Toronto Raptors with who they had. But, you know, those are some of the managerial mistakes that come back to bite you later, right? Because when you don't end up where you want to end up, you have to start looking at, okay, what did we lose it at? This was a decision that hurt us. Spoelstra's a vet, right? So he should have the heartbeat of his team. But I guarantee you that he thought, hey, we can handle without Jimmy Butler. We know that playing against the Knicks, we know what type of game that's going to be. Let's rest him up. You know what I mean? Jimmy Butler's getting up there, man. And he's got a lot of tread off the tires. And, you know, that's why I think he plays dormant for the most part during the regular season and then ramps it up because he knows that he can't play at a certain tempo, you know, for 35 minutes a game, you know, for 85.
It's the playoff Jimmy everybody talks about. Meanwhile, around the league, again, you as a football player, you got every game mattered because it was only 16.
Once a
right?
week, yeah. It's
and
tough.
So it's a lot, and I get it, it's a completely different thing, but still.
I mean, we hurt way more, but, you know, keep coming back.
But listen to this. All of a sudden, Zion's ready to go. All of a sudden,
he's like,
Carl Anthony Towns is ready to go. Mm-hmm. Is this bad? Like, this kind of stuff is...
It's wacky D, man.
It's bad for the league.
It's bad. And because, you know, like, collectively, they was like, hey, they were almost probably like, listen, we don't want to keep... Let him get 100%. We can get to where you got to get in. When we get in this postseason... We saw what we did last year without him. If we can get into the postseason to get him healthy, we know what it's like to play with him because we played with him at the beginning of the season. But somebody got to stop with Zion, man. This is getting ridiculous.
Well, it's like you're not valuing the regular season. I'm telling you, more and more players doing this, it's going to be such a turnoff.
I mean, as a teammate.
Not valuing the regular season.
I mean, as a teammate, like, bro, I got to play them minutes that you don't play.
Thank you.
Like, bro, like, what about me?
And the Pelicans are still trying to, like, you know, lock up a 7-10 berth. But they should have been, instead of fighting for a berth here, they should have been above that. Because the way they were playing early in the season with him. Now, it's like, well, you're questioning whether or not he's really hurt. I'm not questioning whether he's hurt. But a hamstring?
Like, I thought he's supposed to be in shape, yeah.
That's conditioning.
So they saying they pushed him and asked too much in the beginning of the season and it stressed him. He's the one that said he lost weight. And did all
right.
This, like, hopefully it was, we thought it was because he was working out, maybe because it was just strictly diet.
Not buying
it. And it wasn't about running and being in peak condition. I don't know, man. He should talk to a guy like Draymond Green, because Draymond Green, like, struggled with this a couple of years, and his body, you know, for the last 10 or 8 has been, you know, where it needed to be. I know a couple of years ago they kind of made fun of him and said he got to get in shape.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a guy that came in the league chubby, real chubby.
Yeah. Well,
he's found a way to be a professional, man. And Zion just – he don't get it because he always been able to just do things that other people can't do, and his body is so hard to defend. But, man, if you ain't in shape, you can't go on. Listen, Oliver Miller was fat as hell. But, you know, he gave you what he gave you. But Zion and how he wants to play and how they want to play, man, he got to be in better cardio condition. And that starts with the weight.
But, once again, you're suggesting, like, by the end of the year, I'm ready to go now because why? Because it's playoff time, I want to be part of that.
Yeah, look where we at.
Well, you weren't part of the climb, man. You can't just, like, helicopter in after we climbed the mountain.
Yeah, look where we at. We're in the 7. We're in the 7-10.
Yeah.
Like, if you would have came and gave us some love,
maybe that. We
could have had. We could have been in 5th or 4th.
Amazing. But that's where we are with this league. That's where we are. 800-919-3776 is the number. So your expectations tonight, Knicks in the Heat. Just, again, level of anticipation, anxiety, all those things going into this game tonight. It is basically the Knicks win, and they are all set. Like, it pretty much virtually locks it up that they will get a top 6 seed, which, by the way, at the start of the season, everybody, nobody expected that. Everybody thought can they get in? Can they be in the 7-10 play-in? Can they be in that battle? Can they get in that way? That they thought, can they even get over 40 wins? Well, they've done both so far, and they have a chance now to lock it up with still 5 games to go after tonight.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
And Bart, we also have to talk about something that, is it fair to say it's a concern? I don't know. You tell me. With Woody Johnson just at least suggesting that he is anxious about getting a trade done with Aaron Rodgers. He said, I think we're anxious. Then he said, we're anxious. And then he said, as we look forward, we're optimistic. But we have a plan. We're sticking with our plan. And then he adds this part, which I think is, this is the, him adding this made me feel better. I don't think anybody's hyperventilating at this point. How do we read this quote? And does this, is this something that the Packers at least could use? Because let's see if we can smoke out the owner and get him to a point where he just says, give them what they want. Let's just get this done. I can't take it anymore.
No, because he's saying, when he says, this is the plan, we're sticking to the plan, I think that's kind of addressing the Lamar Jackson discussion that's going on around the Jets. Like, why shouldn't they be in the running? They have a plan. They're sticking to the plan. And, you know, sometimes guys come and the plans change. But he's saying, listen, I've done that. I've been that guy. I've been impulsive. I'm sticking to the plan because I think these guys deserve the opportunity to execute their plan, because this is a plan that Joe Douglas had when he was hired to be in this point. He thought he was going to be in this point with maybe Zach Wilson, and we're talking about maybe getting some final pieces as a player to put better players around him. Just so happened that the player that they had to go out and get replaces or will replace Zach Wilson, but they still have faith and hope that Zach Wilson can be a above-average quality starter, Kirk Cousins at least type of player. And Lamar Jackson erases all that. So I think he shows the optimism, but, you know, whether it's Gutekunst or, you know, or Woody, I think that the deal gets done. I think that they're coming closer, and I think we'll probably hear something pretty soon.
Do you know something? You said that with a lot of confidence.
Well, I just believe it. I mean, I just believe if something gets done soon. I know they had something going up where they were going to, you know, try and meet with Calais Campbell.
That didn't work out.
Yeah, and he signed, which is surprising to me, because Calais Campbell, probably on the outside looking in, but a guy that maybe when we look at the totality of his career can be a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? Late, he's right there. He's played long enough. I mean he had one career in Jacksonville. Seemed like he had two careers in Arizona. Then it seemed like he had another mini career with 3 years with the Ravens, and yet he's still going. I think he's like 34 years old, but he still wants to play. And the Atlanta Falcons, and the fact that he's at where he is, he's played long enough to make a lot of money. I just don't understand the Atlanta Falcons, because if you're Calais Campbell, if you're not playing for a championship, then I don't understand really what you're playing for. And Atlanta is a team that's saying that they're going to go with Desmond Ridder, and they really believe in Desmond Ridder. I think at best you hope for Desmond Ridder to be Marcus Mariota in Tennessee, which I don't know if that what that means or what that gets you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it can get you a playoff berth, but I just don't know how much that can get you. Now, they have weapons when you think about Pitts and you think about Drake London, and maybe they go out and continue to build. They added Jesse Bates, but I just don't see why he picked – you know, the Falcons over the Jets. But that's a decision he has made. But that's another big man, a reliable guy, a veteran off the board. And they got to figure out what they're going to do to try and get – because they were fast on defense. That's great. But they weren't big.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can't anchor and people can push you around with some of these teams, with some of these great guards and these great lines, you know, you pay the price.
He signed a one-year, so he's agreed to a one-year deal, a source confirming to ESPN. They're trying to upgrade their defense there. That's something that Arthur Smith talked about.
Yeah, so Grady Jarrett.
They go there with him, but you're right. It's a thing where you wonder, did the Jets, all right, that's a decent piece for the Jets. It would have been a good piece. It's not like it's an earth-shattering move.
Well, it would have made him massive. He's 6'8". It would have made him massive.
Yeah.
He's a guy that's crafty, too. Last year, 5.5 sacks. So he's not just a big man. He's a guy that also can be creative and get into your quarterback and push in the pocket. And, I mean, it seems like he blocks two important field goal attempts a year and wins a game by doing that a year as well. So,
yeah.
And also, he would have been crafty enough to kind of – I mean, it's a lot that can be learned for Quinnen Williams from a guy like Calais Campbell, who's been all pro, right? More than once, who's been pro bowler, to kind of have that veteran, kind of like how Jason Taylor came out and kind of mentored Calvin Pace a little bit.
He's 36 years old, oldest active defensive lineman in the league, 16th season this will be, and he chooses to do it in Atlanta. Probably a money thing too, right? The Jets probably couldn't give him as much.
Yes, they can. Jets still got some money.
Yeah, I know, but don't they have to be careful with some of it?
Nah.
Like that, then why the hell is he choosing Atlanta? Like
that's what I'm saying.
Wouldn't you come to the Jets knowing like that this could be a fun year? Like you could be part of like this could be fun.
They have no offense. I mean, they have no.
But
no,
what is? Does it
they
tell
don't
you,
have a quarterback?
Does it tell you that he's like, yeah, I don't want to go where I'm going to have to perform?
I don't know because he played for the Ravens and he played well.
Last year. This one doesn't make sense.
And to me, at
like
best,
Odell
he's a rotational
met with
piece.
The Jets. Like you could see, there's still something there. Odell wants to be part of this. It's sort of like a magnetism right now with the Jets.
He did meet with the Giants, which is surprising.
No, it's not surprising.
Why not?
That Odell would meet with the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, like it seems like they're out of the running. Why wouldn't it? They still don't have
family there.
They still don't have a number one.
He's got family. Like that's still like there's still something I think personal with him there. But getting back to what you said, like your level of confidence with the Jets getting a trade eventually done sooner rather than later with the Packers to get the Aaron Rodgers thing completely locked down. Listen to Adam Schefter. Now, I know that Aaron told him lose my number, but Schefter is still pretty well plugged in. And he was on NFL Live yesterday, and he also believes that this thing is very likely to be done.
Most people believe this trade is going to happen. The question is when and for how much. And the Jets and Packers have gone back and forth and have been unable to find a common ground. If you listen to the Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst talk to reporters, he said that the team did not necessarily have to have a first round pick in this deal. And I think that would be a sign that things at some point can heat up very quickly.
Now, again, we said this yesterday, and there's something to point out again for those who might have missed it. Is that there are reports that it's not about the first round pick. It's about the second round pick and another second next year that could move up to a first if the Jets have some team success with Aaron Rodgers. And also in the report is that the Jets were looking for some insurance if Rodgers doesn't play beyond next season. And they wanted to pick back as sort of a payback for only having him for 1 year. And the Packers are hedging on that, saying why. And Bart,
I get it too.
I agree. Like, you're assuming all risk here.
Right, exactly. We're giving you a player for something that we could have been pressing for a first round draft pick, but we're still saying, hey, you know what? It's all good. We'll do it for a two, and not just both of your twos this year. They could have said, hey, man, I need two twos this year. They still didn't say that, and the Jets still are like, nah. I mean, Joe Douglas, you talk about a poker face. I mean, like, yo, that's. You're a bit excessive, man. Even if the Jets brass is like, hey, man, you sure? No, trust me, I got him. Like, man, Ozzy must have taught you some Jedi mind tricks.
I don't know. Like, you can wait it out a little bit. It does feel like, you know, what are we now? We're still a month before the draft.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there's still a lot of time. And the draft matters to the Packers because that second round pick has value at 42. More than it will next year. And that's, I think, something that Gutekunst kind of suggested, is that it's picks or players. And if we get past the draft, it kind of changes what you're looking for in return. Because we're giving up a high-end player, we expect to get back a high-end player.
And plus, you're thinking what they want to do is they want to try and surround Jordan Love with as much talent as they can.
Yep.
And they don't want to have a lag in being able to get him talent this year. Because they have their second-round draft pick, too, which I think – they're because they're 15th, right behind the Jets, right? The Jets are 13th, they're 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that means that if the Jets are 42 and 43,
yes,
that means they're like 48. So they're saying, hey, remember what we said. So like if 42 and 43 has the value of 17, then 42 and whatever they have there still has a value of first round draft pick. So they might be able to slip back into the first round and go out. Wouldn't it be crazy? They go out and now they go get some great receiver. You know, they finally move back, get to the first round and get a first round receiver.
For
Aaron, and that they because they never got one for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
they never pick one in the first
Love,
round
though, right?
Yeah, they get one for Jordan Love. Like, man, Aaron, be like, you know what, man? Can we play them? Can we play them?
What are you doing right now, by the way?
Nothing, son.
Are you cooking?
No.
You're not cooking.
I'm heating.
What are you doing?
Nothing, man.
No. You're doing something.
How can you tell I'm doing something?
Because you're not. I don't see you. That's why. So you have the extra long cord.
You know, man.
Because I know you're up to something. Like, it's fine. You're keeping the conversation going, but I almost feel like I'm sitting at your kitchen island and you're cooking up some breakfast. Now, can you be honest with me? What are you doing?
Yeah, I was just putting a little spice on something. You know what I'm saying? But that's what people want, man. They want to have a conversation with friends just in a casual way. And I'm trying to
prove. What did I say?
I'm trying to present that.
What did I say? I said, I feel like I'm sitting at your kitchen island, and I'm like, we're just talking.
Hey, you want some juice?
Right.
You want some juice?
He's like,
you
freshly juice? Squeezed? I got some freshly squeezed juice.
You want some juice? Yeah, man, this is awesome.
Right, you put that right in front of me. And
I got this from Whole Foods.
A little mimosa.
I got this from Whole Foods.
Listen, man, you know that I have spitballed this idea, and I've tried to make it come to fruition. It hasn't happened yet. The idea of a morning sports talk show that is in a kitchen. It's basically Rachel Ray.
Yep.
But instead of talking about pop culture and current events, we talk about sports. But we make food.
Yes.
And that's what we do.
You know what's crazy?
And we sit there and we have different guests on, people. Because there's a lot of athletes who are foodies. A lot of athletes that are foodies who like to cook or like to be in the kitchen. And we do a little of both. And I thought that'd be a watchable show. Maybe something you and I could turn our show into one day, since you, I know you're a foodie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Listen, it's crazy because I believe the first iteration of the NFL show.
Oh,
Good Morning.
Yeah, Good Morning Football.
It was like in a kitchen like that too,
sort of.
Because it was in Times Square, so yep. It was just weird because it was the NFL experience thing.
Yeah,
it was kind of like that, but they didn't execute and have that vision. But that would be perfect, because you can sit there and it would have to be simulcast. And we sit up there. We cook a meal. We cook breakfast. We put we cut up fruit, or we do it chias or yogurt. Mm-hmm. Oops, what did I say?
I don't know what you said, but you know what I'm saying. See, that's what happens when you get too comfortable, right?
No.
You're cooking food. You think you're home, and then you forget that we're on the air. We're on a show right now.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. I don't know. I like the idea.
I said two words. It was ship and something. I don't know what.
I don't know what you were talking about. But you're in the middle of making something that I can't eat. And I'm hungry right now. And I'm feeling left out. 800.
I came from boxing today, man.
I know. You're always – I know you. See, you don't think I know you by now.
I'm dying.
Your schedule. I know your days. I know which days Bart's going to be fired up, which days he's going to be tired, which days he's going to be hungry. And I know today is your hungry day, which is why when I couldn't see you anymore, and yet you were talking up a storm, and I'm like – and I'm hearing like your voice. I'm going, he's making something. Like, he's cooking something.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Final four, we're getting ready for it. In Houston, you have the men, and UConn's the favorite. And it's like the odds-on favorite to win it all. And I think when you look at the style of play, the team that just seems best suited to play. Now, what's the team that's best suited to upset everybody? I'm going to say it's San Diego State. They play Florida Atlantic, so one of them's getting in the championship game, and I would look at San Diego State as a team that just, you see how they're older, they're tough, they got size, they got everything you need to surprise everyone, which they have had in this run. UConn-Miami is the one game in the Final Four, the other one San Diego State and Florida Atlantic. UConn's your favorite, but San Diego State's that team that's like, if you're going to ask me what's a team I should look out for, it's that one. So we'll see what comes to the Final Four, and we'll get
it. It's weird. It is crazy, we'll right? Because how many people really know about San Diego? Right,
like the city,
I'm talking about the school.
Yeah.
Like listen, I know it because Fisher used to be there after he got did wrong from the University of Michigan.
You know what I mean? I love Steve Fisher. You know what I mean? He has a special heart in all Michigan, Detroit fans. But, you know what I mean, when you think about it, like, how many people, like, I wonder if this is good for sports or bad, right? I love it because, you know, you never know. Like, because you get in there, you get these older teams, they're mature, they got nothing to play for. This is probably the end of their basketball career. They're going out on their shill. They, you know, they're playing hard, yeah, right? They're not trying to protect themselves, leave it all out on the field, I mean, on the court. And then you have teams that, you know, been popped together because they always lose five or six people to the NBA. And it's like it's two philosophies, right? And I love the fact – but, you know, I wonder how many people, because it's not the usual suspects, are kind of turned it off once the last of the Blue Bloods or Michigan State.
Yeah, the brand names.
The brand names kind of got eliminated. I wonder, like, is this good? Is ratings going to be up? Do people care? Did it plummet? Right, because last year when Kansas won, I think it held the interest. They want to see if they can figure it out. Even if Gonzaga was still here, I think it may be.
Well, that's a bigger story. If Gonzaga was still alive, the big story is can they finally get over the hump? But we've already learned that yet again they can't. They've had great success, but they haven't been able to win that last game.
Yo, when that coach finally wins, he should just He should finally leave.
Just retire.
Like, no, just finally go to a bigger program, get paid big money. Like, man, I did what I came here to do, finally.
Finally.
I can never live up
to
this.
Here's the thing. Get the hell out of here. I'm not leaving until I win a championship.
Exactly. Because that's what it feels
Three
like.
3 hours later.
Yeah. I mean, I just got Kurt Morrison crying. They should do a scissor reel. Like all the disappointing years, like this goes back like 10 years, man.
Kurt Morrison
was a long time ago.
Adam Morrison, but yes,
Adam, I don't know why I say that.
Yeah, but no, but I get what you're saying.
I call him the stash.
Yes, that was not a good look. 800-919-3776. Let's grab a few calls here. Bart, Noel in the car. Noel, how we doing?
Hi, Bart.
Oh,
man. Let me tell you something. Oh, you did it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We know.
You made my daughter's week month, which you heard at the end of the show with the soundbite.
Yeah, that's.
She thought she was a movie star.
One of our favorites.
She is all the way to the top, straight to the moon.
She's on the page forever.
Forever.
Man, there's a couple of things I wanted to say real quick. First of all, Bart, they don't give you enough credit. You predict so much of what's going on behind the scenes in the NFL and, you know, with Joe Douglas and how on point you were, you know, about he's not rushing into anything. He knows what he's got in front of him. He knows what he made a move to get Hardman in. Mm-hmm. Got a second round pick. I mean, and we just got to relax and have faith in him. I mean, obviously, the only mistake he's ever made was Zach Wilson. And listen, for all the good he's
perfect.
Done. Yeah. For all
and
the
we don't
he's
know
done,
that it's.
I'll
but wait,
that,
but Noel, yeah. We don't even know if it's really a mistake yet.
Well, it's been delayed.
It wasn't an immediate impact move.
Exactly.
For a number two pick, it was an immediate impact, but it still has time. And this Aaron Rodgers move might buy you the time to where 4 years from now we're like, yo, they did the right thing.
This is a microwave NFL, right?
Right.
And to me, being an ex-college football player at Division I level. You know, these quarterbacks need, unless you play in the SEC, I don't see quarterbacks coming in and making a splash within the first year. It just doesn't happen. So you're right about that, Alan, about, you know, him learning from Aaron Rodgers and being able to play. Because if he can't do it, then, you know, he can't do it. I mean, after two more years. So the arm talent is there undeniably. So I just want to give Bart his props. Because, you know, so many people come on and attack Bart about nonsense. And I'm just like, the guy knows he played. He's negotiated three of his own contracts. Like, you know, not his own contracts with an agent, but he's been through this process. We should have more faith in you. But, guys, I just wanted to say thank you. I love the show. Best show on ESPN. And, you know, again, let's go Jets. Let's go Knicks tonight.
Appreciate
you,
daughter.
Hi, man.
We love it. Say hi to your daughter, Forrest, my man. That's one of my favorite drops. Let's continue with the calls. Let's go to Billy in Long Beach. Billy!
Hey, what's up, brother?
How we doing?
How much do you love us, Billy?
Billy!
You guys are the only show that inspire me to call, actually. I love you guys. You have real rapport. You're smart. You're fun. You're into music. It's the only show that I really listen to regularly, sports show. I'm a lifelong Jet fan. I'm a little trepidatious about telling you how old I am because I was at the championship game where Joe Namath beat the Oakland Raiders back in 1968 in December. And I've been waiting a long time.
You are. You know that meme, the old woman from Titanic, where she's like, "It's been 84 years." Like that. That's literally you right now.
That's right. And I have two questions. One is, why is this so difficult for them? They have these high draft picks. I'm not going to blame the current manager for Sam Darnold, but why are they so off the mark so much with quarterbacks? And then finally, I'll get off so someone else can get on. But I'm a Long Islander, right? And I have to say, going to that place over on the continent in New Jersey, man, that's not an easy trek, man.
I'm with you.
And
I'm with you. You know, it turns me off. I'll tell you, that, Billy, the second part of what you said there is something that I've talked about a couple of times on the air. Now, there's an out coming up for the Jets. There's an out coming on that stadium. And there's property. You know, there's a soccer stadium being built next to Citi Field. And there's a lot more property over there. And if there's a time to do it, especially with Aaron Rodgers, like, there's a time to do it. There'd be the time if you want to reconnect. Now, I know there's still a large contingency of the fan base that's there. And I know your practice facility, you built a beautiful facility in Florham Park.
Yeah.
But you have a massive amount of your fan base on Long Island. And you made it so difficult to go to games because of the commute. It's an awful, awful commute. And I almost would, like, I really do fight the idea of going to games, Billy. I do. I say to myself, and I'm fortunate enough working at this station that, you know, a lot of times they say, do you want to go to the game? We can get you into the game. And there's a couple of times where I'm like, you know, I just don't want to go through the trouble. I'll just watch it at home. And you don't want that to be with your fan base. So I'm curious to see if they ever do, you know, ever do something about that. But it's great to hear from you, Billy, and thanks for the kind words. We appreciate you. Don't be a stranger. Call back. But Bart, the quarterback thing that he brought up, you know, I mean, it's been trial and error, and there's been a lot of error.
That's for a lot of teams. Like,
it's true.
Remember the quarterbacks that Kansas City had for a long time, right? And they had to trade for Alex Smith, who was a bust for the San Francisco, right? They had some bums. Like, if I pull up their quarterbacks, I can remember Tony Gonzalez used to go through the list, like the bad quarterbacks that he played with before he went with Matt Ryan, right? You look at just here within our division. How long have they been trying? I mean, EJ Manuel.
How long have they been trying to replace Dan
Kelly.
Marino? How about, right. Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, and now the Patriots are going to go through it trying to replace Tom Brady.
I mean, after Steve McNair, when you think about what they had there, Tampa Bay. Like, I mean, just look at it. Yeah. Like, just everybody, like, see, I think we get so enamored with the 5 or 10 that's good in the league or 15 that's good in the league, we forget that it's cycles and cycles of guys that don't – or teams that don't have – you know, that don't have great quarterbacks that are going through the same grind that
think
we're going
about
through. The Chicago Bears.
The Pittsburgh Steelers going from Terry Bradshaw and wading all the way to Ben Roethlisberger. And the names that – Neil O'Donnell, Tommy Maddox. Like, think of the
– Cordell Stewart.
Slash, yeah, for a while. So there's a lot of that, you know, to think about. And we can continue this conversation on the other
Ravens,
side. We got
never.
A lot to get to.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.